Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. We've helped over 20,000 wedding parties get suited up. And here's the deal. You don't need to rent a suit. For about the same price, you can own one that's perfectly tailored for you. Over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make it so easy. Whether your groomsmen live nearby or out of state, we've got everything covered. Trust me, this is the easiest part of planning your wedding. Stop by Nick's Menswear and let us show you why we're the fastest growing suit company in the country. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hour number four rolls along here. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shope and the Bulldog today. Mike Shope hopes to be back tomorrow. Wow, Bulldog. Gotta wait a little bit longer.
He's hanging out.
He'll be back in 2025.
He's chilling.
He's hanging out, relaxing, enjoying vacation.
We should all let him enjoy his vacation.
Mm-hmm. I do want to bring up something, though, because we've been talking a lot about the NFL games on Christmas.
Yes.
NBA games that were going on, and I have not watched a lot of, and real quick here, I have not watched a lot of regular season NBA games. I'm very much somebody, and I mentioned it today on the Extra Point Show, Christmas is typically the day. And then it's for the first time really all year where I'm sitting, I'm watching games. I'll place my bets, you know, what have you. And with NFL games yesterday that had, you know, some stake for the Bills, I was obviously locked in on those. Really happy to see, though, that for the NBA, I'm seeing this from their communications department, most watched Christmas Day for the NBA in the last 5 years, with an average viewing of 5.25 million viewers per game in the U.S. across ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, Disney+, and ESPN+.
And you know what? Good for them, though, because LeBron even said it after the game.
Saw that, yeah.
He said, no, this is our day. And the NFL does typically take what they want, when they want it. However, when you put it only on a streaming service, including a streaming service who has upset people with the, no, you're not allowed to share any of this.
Well, they also botched the last sporting event.
And they botched the last sporting event. You put it's on a streaming service that didn't have necessarily the best PR coming into Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I all that surprised?
I wonder if also there were maybe some people who were like, I hope I have Netflix, we'll see what happens. And then they saw the box score and were like,
but you
I'm
know
good.
Who, but you know who has ABC? Everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ease of access is so much easier there.
Yep. Good for them, though. I mean, honestly, good for the NBA, because I know I think that's been a big storyline.
You have an antenna? You got ABC.
Yeah. But from at least what I've seen, the ratings have not been good. So to see that, Christmas Day was very good for them, and it was very good games. I was able to watch the Knicks and the Spurs one before I went over to my aunt's house, so that was great. Overall, though, we've kind of talked about the games. We haven't really mentioned how did you actually feel about the Christmas games for the NFL? Because this is now our second year doing it. And Derek, I got to tell you, it really feels wrong. I don't
it
like
is
him.
Wrong.
I was talking with our boss, Tim Wenger. He was heading out earlier this afternoon, and he kind of said too, like, I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Yeah, I don't like that it's on
Here's
Netflix.
How much I don't like
I don't like that it's on Christmas. I don't like any of it.
I said to you on Extra Point on Tuesday, I'm not watching these games. I'm doing that for the sake of my mental health. I don't need to watch the Kansas City Chiefs win another game and then seal up the one seed. I didn't need to watch that at all. And then we got 31-2 for the other game, and it's like,
so good. So good.
Was that score gone in?
No, it wasn't.
Wow.
The last time it happened was 1965.
I did see, though, the first half was score gone, whatever the score was at the end of the first half. That was.
That was. But it's very clear that teams don't – like, games are never really good when they're in the middle of the week like that. And – so maybe we should just stop doing that.
Yeah, an incredibly short
NFL,
week because all these teams have to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
To be able to have literally the legal amount of rest or of day difference between their next game.
It's
and they were both blowouts against, by the way, all four teams are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a
and
sad set of games.
I mean, we talked about it, me and Josh talked about it earlier today on the Extra Point Show too. It was like, this is not like a great sign if like these are four of your seven AFC playoff teams, and they were both blowouts on the road.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's really bad.
And that's kind of where we're at with, like, you know, you live in the moment sort of thing of it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore as that one tier, and then the second tier is those other playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
And while there's plenty of truth in that perception, Pittsburgh probably is better than they showed against Kansas City.
Maybe. I think they were down some of
throughout
their corners.
Throughout the season, they were down some of their corners.
And yeah, I mean, they've had their moments. I will say.
Throughout the season, they
Russell,
have been.
Russell Wilson had a few games, and now I'm back out again. Get my boy Fields back in there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wilson is Wilson, but it was the rest of the team that was not doing well.
George Pickens just deciding not to run routes at times. So good.
Yeah, no, I don't know what's going on there. But, like, that's the thing is, like, anytime you get football on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, even those Thursday night games, how often are they not good?
Well, that was always the big thing with Thursday night football. Not only would you have typically like the AFC South special, but it was overall bad football. You weren't getting like great performances.
You weren't getting
like
good
bad
execution.
Teams putting in a really good day. It was bad execution. Never looked good.
The Rams and the 49ers score a combined what, 18 points?
Yeah, that was
like,
rough.
That's the thing. Thursday night football is even a problem, and they refuse to acknowledge that. But no, let's shove it in Christmas for a Wednesday.
I do think, though, the Thursday night window this year has actually been better. I think.
It's been better, but oftentimes it's not good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes. Like, the Bills played on Thursday against Miami. What happened?
Well, Miami fell down.
Decimation.
Never got up. Fell down.
And it's almost like
sad.
It's something that happens more often. Yes, this year there have been better Thursday night games.
Mm-hmm.
Their peaks have been better, but the valleys are still very common.
Yeah.
And it's their usual. A team gets blown out, or it's ugly football, or it's between two teams that nobody wants to watch.
I'm telling you, man, it's the AFC South special. That is Thursday night football to me. Is it's got to be like Tennessee versus Jacksonville, color rush uniforms. No one's happy. It's the worst. That to
or it's NFC South football. It's like New Orleans against like Atlanta,
Carolina.
Yeah,
still in their color rush uniforms.
Still everyone hates it.
That is the staple.
The only change is the conference and division.
That's it.
Not even the division. Just the conference.
But yeah,
there's one letter that changes. AFC, NFC.
I will say though. I mean, like, because I sat there and watched both games. I did. And it, for me, it was just, I was bored out of my mind because like it's different with college blowouts because I can always build up in my head too of like not even just in my head it's true a team we mentioned it with a Boise State, a Hawaii, a few years ago a TCU making the Final Four or those big time bowl games from the early 2000s.
Yes,
that alone is a great win for those programs, even if they
you're
lose.
Getting a check.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter if you lose. It's a great win. If it's a great game or even win, even better. But those are wins in of themselves. Houston and Pittsburgh, the only win they might get out of those situations, is because of how the seeding will fall, they'll play each other in the wild card round. One of you has to win that game.
And now, not to mention, you're getting long rest to your final game of the year.
Yeah, what are you getting, like 10, 11 days?
Yeah.
So you're getting the long rest, and then one of you does have to win a playoff game if the seeding falls as it should. Only to be just whipped around in the divisional round by teams that are clearly better than you. And while sure, in the long run, you know, a coach, a GM, the players can kind of hold their head up high, and I agree to that too. That if they win that playoff game, they can go, no, hey, we won a playoff game. There are teams that don't. There are great head coaches with good teams that lose in the wild card round regularly. Marvin Lewis coached the Bengals for over 10 years.
Couldn't get him past it.
Yeah, could not get past the wild card round. Marty Schottenheimer became famous for having very good teams and losing playoff games. And so for either your D'Amico Ryans or Mike Tomlin, it's been a long time since the Steelers have won their last playoff game. Let me look that up here real quick.
Yeah, no, Mike Tomlin, it is becoming one of these things where more of his flaws show up, but the main thing that keeps getting highlighted is he refuses to have a losing season. Yeah, it's great, but you're kind of tire spinning at this.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At this point. And yeah, that's not great either.
Their last playoff win, 2016, the divisional round against the Chiefs, 18-16.
Wow.
2016.
It's been that long.
It has been that long.
And he's had teams with winning records, and he's had teams with talent.
Remember, 2017, they lose to the Jaguars in that divisional game.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two seed that year.
They were the team that, like, they were talking, and, like, they were ready to go, and...
And Jacksonville kind of beats them up.
They pretty much overlooked Jacksonville getting ready for New England.
Yep.
And no, you didn't even get that.
Yep. 18-19, no playoffs, although not losing seasons.
Because they also broke up their core, though.
Yes, they did.
That was
the three Bs or the triple Bs.
Yes. And Bell and Brown were gone.
Mm-hmm. And that's also the end of Roethlisberger, but they go 9-6-1 in 18, 8-8 in 19. Actually, funny enough, both times second in the AFC North, but
ultimately
no playoffs.
Didn't they make the playoffs with the 9-6-1 or no?
They did not, nope.
Oh, okay.
And then 2020 is the first time they're back. That's where they start really good that year.
Oh, that's when 9-6-1, they started off hot and then they collapsed, and that was the end of those teams.
That was check to make sure.
That was the end of Ben and Bell and all them. Yes.
Yeah, that 9-6-1 season, they started 7-2-1.
Because they like lost to the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chargers in consecutive weeks.
Okay, you actually nailed that. It's Broncos, Chargers, Raiders. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And they're all actually really close. 24-17, 33-30, 24-21.
None of those teams were good that year.
No. No. Any team that has any year that has Oakland Raiders, they were probably awful.
Yes.
Then they beat the Patriots 17-10, lose to the Saints, and then beat the Bengals to go 9-6-1. They ultimately miss out. But yeah, to be 7-2-1 and not
because Cleveland.
I remember that year.
Cleveland needed to beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
Baker throws a last minute pick to CJ Mosley.
Yep. And that was the big thing, to be 7-2-1 and not make the playoffs.
Yes.
They also tied Cleveland week one, 21-21.
And that's where that one came from. Yeah.
So they then miss in 19 as well, 8-8. Then 2020, which is a year I've brought up a lot.
That was Baker coming in for Cleveland, and they finally win a game for the first time.
Bingo.
Because their first game was Tyrod against Pittsburgh and they don't win.
Yep. And so this team starts 11-0, loses then to Washington. Then they play Buffalo the next week, which I remember being very frustrated about because I really wanted Buffalo to be the first team to beat them because they were clearly a paper tiger. And then they lose four of their last five to go 12-4, including they lose to Cleveland twice in a row. Cleveland in week 17, 24-22. And then they lose to them in the wild card game, 48-37, in which that game, I think, was over very quickly.
It was over by halftime, and a lot of the points that Pittsburgh got and the yardage, like, it was Cleveland's mailing it in because they have, like, they're leading by, like, 30.
They are now looking to the next game.
Yeah.
21-9-7. Man, they tied again, 9-7-1 in 21. Where was that tie at?
Cincinnati?
Detroit, 16-16. That's
oh, my God, that's right. Detroit.
And then they lose to the wild card round to the Chiefs, 42-21. And then they, I believe, miss in 22. They do 9-8. And then this year, or last year, 10-7, losing to the Buffalo Bills in the wild card. And then now this year. So there, you know what? Actually, like, that would be a huge thing for Tomlin and the Steelers, just to notch another playoff win for the first time in almost a decade. You haven't had any losing seasons, but like that also tells you like how far, like they're kind of just in like this weird
They're tire spinning.
Yeah, like they're just in a spot where, like, sure, you're not losing, but, like, you definitely aren't winning.
Yes.
Because it's one thing to make the playoffs, but you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'd even say, like, you know, the Bills and Chiefs and the Eagles.
You are a franchise.
Yeah.
So we were talking about this off air heading into the show today, and it's relevant to bring this in. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Steelers historically are a successful franchise. Not just that, one of the elites.
Yeah.
Whereas now you look at Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, with the arrival of those three quarterbacks, their entire identities have changed.
Yeah.
Baltimore was a team that was there. They had past Super Bowl wins.
But it was all defense.
But it was all defense and running.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year of Joe Flacco lighting his pants on fire in the postseason.
2011 Joe Flacco. Excuse me, 2012 Joe Flacco. 2012
Joe Flacco. Buffalo are the ultimate jobbers.
Mm-hmm.
They go an entire decade without beating Miami. They go to the Super Bowl four times and lose it. Then their last playoff appearance is a forward lateral on a kickoff, and then they don't see the playoffs again for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then Allen shows up, and the entire direction of this franchise has been altered into a different era.
They're now considered one of the most well-run organizations in sports, and let alone football. They win a playoff game basically every year.
And then there's Kansas City. They get Patrick Mahomes, and they have refused to be anything outside of the AFC Championship game at minimum ever since.
And because they've now won three Super Bowls in that run, four total going
four
back
appearances,
to the 60s.
Three wins.
But even then, like, just franchise-wise, just because of this one era, the Patriots are kind of the same thing with the Brady era too, but, like, because of this one era, they're now up there with the likes of Green Bay and
yes.
and the Colts as well and stuff like that, who, like, have won multiple Super Bowls. Or Denver. Denver's, I think, the other yes. one I was thinking of, have multiple Super Bowls but aren't, like, Pittsburgh and Dallas and New England.
Right.
They're right there with, like, no, we're multiple Super Bowl champions. We are indisputably one of the winningest organizations in sports or in football, and it's because of, like, a 6 year run.
But Pittsburgh is sitting here just mm-hmm. like, hey, we're gonna just sit in this mud and spin the tires here, kind of on purpose at this point.
Like, don't want to lose. It can't take, like, a year or two of genuine losing.
Yeah, you cannot take a year to genuinely rebuild. Even when they made the switch to Kenny Pickett, it was because Mitchell Trubisky was bad. And they had no choice.
Remember Mason Rudolph getting in last year, too?
Yes.
Towards the end of the year for them to make a playoff push, he was in as well.
Yeah, because they eschewed Pickett and then traded him.
Wasn't that a game in Baltimore? I mean, late in the year, rain, gross. Maybe not Baltimore. Somebody. But it was like rain, it was gross, and Rudolph's in there. It was just... I think that's the thing, too. Like, Pittsburgh is now, like, their identity has changed in... Well, I mean, really, since their last playoff win of, like, being perennially successful, and you wanted to build yourself like Pittsburgh.
And now they're just good enough to be average.
The last 8 years, you're just like, cool, you're a mediocre team.
Yeah.
Your coach is more than good enough to get in the playoffs, but he's not innovative. He's not going to go for fourth down. He's not elevating you necessarily. You have
when
incredible
was last
talent.
Super Bowl win? Do you still have him up?
Their last Super Bowl win would have been 08. And that was against Arizona with Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Now, they did make the Super Bowl in
And the keys were just handed over from Cowher at that point,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Tomlin was very young into his career.
That's his second year he wins Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He does make a Super Bowl, though, in his fourth year, 2010. They ultimately lose to Green Bay. That's the last Super Bowl they've been in.
Yeah.
They did lose in the AFC Championship game to New England, that being in 2016, part of their last winning a playoff game. But outside of that, I mean, like, they have now become one of those just middling organizations. They're kind of good, but they're kind of not. You know, you're almost frustrated that they'll win 10, 11 games in a season because you kind of know what they are.
They're mid.
That's a wild card game I'd be into for that reason alone. Of, like, Houston, who had all these expectations, maybe kind of figures it out at the end. They had a lot of injuries, and the Tank Dell one is brutal and gruesome, and you feel awful for
him. It's demoralizing.
Yeah, the Stephon Diggs injury as well. They never really met expectations, but if they can get a playoff win, there is something to that of keeping the season successful, not being a lost season, what have you. And then for Pittsburgh, I mean, of the last few years, this kind of felt like one of those years where it's like, this is going to be the year they're bad. This will be the one where Tomlin is, you know, 4-13, and they're just not good, and it's a full reset. And then you're like, oh no, it's a bad quarterback class. Like, what are they actually doing? Instead, you know, they might, you know, go 11-6 or 10-7, but still make the playoffs. And then, I mean,
in a year where 10-7 might even still only, like,
yeah,
could they be knocked to the 3 seed if everything goes awry for them?
Who?
Pittsburgh.
No, I think that Baltimore would have to... Did Baltimore lock in the AFC North?
No.
Yesterday? No.
What I'm saying, though, is if Pittsburgh loses to if Pittsburgh loses one more time here,
mm-hmm.
they go to 10-7. Denver wins out. Chargers win out. Could they fall to 7?
Well, I think so.
Now I need to go find a playoff predictor for this.
I believe they can. Let's take a quick time out here. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer talking a little bit about the AFC playoff picture, even though a lot of the seeds are locked in. Some maybe cool, interesting storylines that don't necessarily involve Super Bowls. We'll be talking about that after a quick timeout. This is WGR.